B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady is the Pied Piper for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, this isn't to disparage what Jameis Winston did there, but Brady is drawing all kinds of attention from his teammates for the energy that he is bringing, not only in these workouts that he has organized, but also I was told he is lighting up the Zoom meetings. Intelligent questions, personality, engaging with teammates. This is exactly what they need. I was also told by another player, look, he's not waiting. He is aggressive. He is becoming our leader. It's happening right now, even though we are not together on a regular basis as a team in person. He has been able to do that, and that is quite impressive. This is something I think all the Buccaneers are looking forward to when they finally get together.
Pied Piper? We've got a Pied Piper in Tampa Bay?
Freaking Brady Jordan is the Pied Piper for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look.
Hardy? Giardi, Mike Giardi, NFL
People
Network.
Sending us stupid videos from the olden days, the Pied Piper video, so the guy sings it and he's marching around on. I can't get that stuff out of my head. Once
I'm
I see
the Pied
it,
Piper.
It's like, it took me 4 days to stop humming and singing to myself as I did Mold, Suicide is Painless. Because I'm outside, and I'm in suicide's painless. I'm thinking some 14-year-old kid wrote this, and now all of a sudden he's got $1 million benefits from it. Like, I just think about that stuff.
That old-timey performance of I'm the Pied Piper with the people following him around on stage.
There's that one?
That's
creepy, and then the other one is the one from the Monster Mash. He morphs into, like a mad scientist. Like, those weirdo videos from back in the day, they don't jive at me well, man.
No, how about this thing? They'll haunt Brady. You. Brady is reinvigorated down there, is he not?
Yeah.
Holy crap! Oh, he's lighting it up down there. He is special. He's amazing.
In my extremely brief exchanges with him since he's been down there, and I've had a couple.
What's he cutting you off? So
loves the talent. No, but I mean he's quick to get back. But we're not long conversation. Like loves the talent, but the big concern is do they know how to win? I have to teach these guys how to win and. I think it all lines up with his clock. He doesn't have a lot of time left. Has he got
I'm
time
told
to
that genuineness shine through. A plus 10 kind of guy.
That's
Brady
what he
is the Pied Piper for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So Jim tells me that we had a Pied Piper Brady sound effect. Why did we have that?
I don't know, but it happened to be this date in show history, 2016, we debuted it.
It was this day in 2016, which had to have been...
He showed up for the workouts that day, the mini camp or whatever was going on at the time.
And why did we call him the Pied Piper?
I don't know, but we came up. You want to hear the sounder?
Yeah, what did we play on that date in 2016?
Of course, Jim would go to Tinkerbell's entrance in the movie Peter Pan.
I don't even know whose idea it was. It's a good sounder, though.
Is it?
No, that's not a good sounder. That's your original Pied Piper where you went for the flute and... Like, look, Wendy, it's Tinkerbell. There's Captain Hook and TikTok, the alligator.
I don't get it.
Jim and his Peter Pan sounders.
What don't you get, Beetle?
Why we had a Pied Piper. Now, that was right after. So Jacoby Brissett was drafted in 16, and the Parcells story on Brissett, in which Parcells called him the Pied Piper, was in May of 16. So I guess we had already – I can't believe it's been 4 years since we started with the Pied Piper sound effect. But 4 years ago, we started that, and then – So a month later –
That's a sound effect.
So a month later, we started talking about Brady, and Brady must have been leading some things in the offseason. So we got this. I wouldn't mind us trying out some other ones, though.
Well, now he's reinvigorated, right, Beetle?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Toms.
Reinvigorated, reassimilated, and finally going to be relocated.
Relocated.
And I want to thank Mr. Norwalk. I want to thank you, Your Honor. Because it didn't take no 5 years like Your Honor thought, but only 3. My Lord David Kleinfeld.
Reinvigorated, reassimilated, and finally going to be relocated.
You know what's funny? Hardy, I own that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Because I hadn't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and I looked on, like, on demand. This was probably a year ago. I was looking for it on demand, and it was like, wait, the cost of renting this is, like, the same as buying it? So I bought the disc.
Yeah.
And I never opened it, and I came across it this weekend. Oh. And now I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
How long is that movie?
9 hours.
What? How many hours do I have to... It's not like 1 hour Scarface. 40... Scarface feels like it's 3 hours long.
No, Carlito's Way is... I'm gonna say it's 1 hour, 42 minutes before even look.
I might watch it tonight.
102 minutes. That's my guess.
Reinvigorate. Anyway, so I don't know. I just started looking up the same way Jim looked up for the original sound of Brissett. I just started going on YouTube, and I thought maybe we could just start, you know, getting a new sounder for Brady in Tampa as a Pied Piper.
We're not doing this to him. Jim and his magic flute.
For the memories.
Oh, by the way, Beetle, Carlito's Way, 2 hours, 24 minutes.
Oh, damn it. See, that's what I mean. Too damn long. I remembered it as a long movie.
Who shot it? Benny, what's his name?
Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
You remember Spoiler alert.
What else do we, any others, Jim? That's it. This is the one.
Is the Pied Piper song in the running at all? I mean, is that one of our options?
No, that's Brissett.
We used that for a Jacoby Brissett rejoin one day. Yeah, that's kind of how I remember it.
On the Pied Piper song?
Yeah, when he had that big game against Houston.
That last one right there, Jim, that's pretty good. If we could sync that up with the video of him in Carnival when he was dancing on his knees. Remember that one? From many years ago. He had the long hair. And he was in Carnival dancing.
Yes.
Down in Brazil. It's really bad. Probably the two worst Brady videos. That one and the slide video with the magic hands.
Woo.
Yay. We have to... What is this? Oh,
hey, terrible. Come on, baby. Follow me.
Really strange time.
Well, we'll work on that. We'll work on that for Brady.
Why were they always in suits too, Hardy?
Everybody was in suits then. Man.
A lot of ties.
It's like you couldn't be on television without a suit.
Weird.
All right. You know what? Tampa can have Brady because here in New England, Brian Hoyer has top shelf professionalism. Top shelf, guys.
Come from Mike Mayock.
There was a story on this over the weekend.
Top shelf professionalism in these workouts.
And yeah. He definitely doesn't have first round arm talent, but he definitely has top shelf professionalism. We'll give you the details on it. That's up next.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Zolak and Bertrand here at 1:17 after a very brief break. So I don't blame Zoe for not being back at this exact second, Hardy. I don't. That was a fast one. 617-779-0985 is the number for you. Yeah, Zoe was fast, not you, dude.
Oh, man, that was a fast
one. Yeah, no. That was a quick one. You all right? You want to take a minute?
No, I'm good.
Brian Hoyer has exhibited top-shelf professionalism this offseason. Do you want to hear the details of that? Oh, yeah. This, according to Mike.
He's such a jerk every other time. So, yeah, I want to hear this.
From Reese over the weekend, Mike Reese, ESPN. The Hoyer-Stidham dynamic that he writes about. At one of the recent Patriots private throwing sessions that quarterback Jarrett Stidham helped organize with teammates, there was no center on the field.
Shut up.
Stidham was snapping the ball to Brian Hoyer and vice versa. The exchanges highlight an important working dynamic between the two. They are fiercely competitive in hopes of being the successor to Tom Brady, but also sacrificing to help each other. Teams can't force a positive working relationship between their top quarterbacks, but with Hoyer's experience and top-shelf professionalism, it was never really in question how it would look this year in New England. Zo, go.
When I play last, like 99, 2000, like we've been doing this for 30 years, the workouts where whichever quarterback throws, then while you're training, you get back in line, and it's usually for three or four quarterbacks. So you get in the line and you put your hand up and you simulate the butt of the center and you put the hand under, boom, and you snap the guy that's thrown next to the ball, and then you get in line and you do it. That's nothing big. Hoyer's been nothing but a professional during his tenure here, during his tenure elsewhere, whether it be Chicago, whether it be San Francisco, whether it be Houston, whether it be Indianapolis, to the point where I think we're looking for stuff to write at this point. I mean, we're kind of in that. We're in that area now. We're in that zone where we look for everything. And this is just typical workouts. I mean, you got two guys, and Brian's done a good job in the past, as I alluded to, of structuring these workouts. I'm sure he is structuring his workouts as much as Stidham is. But the first thing when I see that, Brian Hoyer's got a professional attitude, it's that, okay, what's he deferring to Stidham? Because ultimately you read between the lines, right? Sort of kind of understand the way some guys have talked. I don't hear many, you know, speaking heads over there talking about Brian Hoyer. I think a lot of them talk about Stidham. Stidham does this, Stidham did this in practice. Stid this, did that.
Right.
That tells you where it's heading. Yeah, I mean, as to what teammates are looking as to who's the guy, who is the guy. And I don't think Hoyer's one to ruffle any feathers. He's always been professional wherever he is. That's nothing crazy, snapping to anybody. That's
Brady
standard.
Do it.
Standard. Pardon me?
That was the next part of it. That's the next part of it. So that, I'm with you, Zoe. I think you're right. Like, maybe this part of it's a little overplayed, right?
Right.
But here's the other part. Is it being overplayed because it highlights the difference from a year ago?
Well, a year ago, you only had Brian here working out, basically.
What do you mean? Stidham was here. Stidham was on the team.
Stidham just got drafted.
Yeah, but he was still, he was a member of the team.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. That's true.
Would Mr. Pied Piper Tom Brady snap the ball to Jarrett Stidham?
Sure.
Hell no. No shot.
Yeah, he would if they were rotating and throwing.
In 2019?
Would he invite him to a throwing session?
No.
Okay, well then he wouldn't even have had the opportunity.
That's a private throwing session on his property.
Well, see, there were private throwing sessions going on. There were throwing sessions at this time last year. It was called mini camp, and it involved Hoyer and Stidham, and Brady wasn't there. Or OTAs, I mean. Yeah. The OTAs, not mini camp. My bad. They're during OTAs. Mini camp, he was there, obviously.
Yeah. I saw what's his name there? Ryan Griffin at the Bucks throwing session, and Blaine Gabbert at the Bucks throwing session with Brady.
Well, he's doing it again in Tampa Bay.
Well, he's a new guy. You kind of got to invite everybody to that one, right?
So he's the new guy, so he has to act differently.
I don't think those two gentlemen you mentioned are anywhere near in the discussion of potentially being a starter for that football team.
Neither was Stidham last year.
Well, Stidham and Hoyer, it's up for grabs this year, right? That's between those two.
Talking about last year.
Okay.
Another item from Reese over the weekend. Coaches for the Patriots have been in no rush to get back to the building, and they have been continuing to work remotely. While Friday marked the first day, he writes that coaches were allowed to return to their facilities. Most, if not all, of the Patriots staffers continue to work remotely. That could change in the coming week, but it wasn't like there was a sudden rush to get back to the office at the earliest possible time. You know what that tells me?
What?
Their home setups are probably pretty good. The Patriots set them up really well at home, and they're like, Yeah, we'll get back in there.
I know the people over there. I know the people that would be responsible for the setups, for the home setups, to make sure things go off without a hitch. I know the people that run the computer systems over there, and they're pretty damn good at what they do.
Sure. That's how I look at it.
From a technical standpoint, they've always been ahead of people.
It's like, oh, if we come back today, can we hold a practice with all our players? No. All right. Well, we'll be home. we've got everything that we would otherwise be using. So that's where they're at on that front. Also, over the weekend, we have not hit on this yet, but Breece Caldwell was murdered in Florida over the weekend. Former Patriot. He spent 1 year here in 2006. He was in San Diego with the Chargers. Prior to that, Bill Belichick put out a statement last night. Obviously, a tragedy for him and his family, for Breece Caldwell. Obviously, you never want to see that happen to anybody. It's just awkward because we've ripped Breece Caldwell plenty over the years for how his career in New England ended, right?
Yeah.
You know what I think got awkward last night as a result?
What's that?
Bill Belichick's statement got awkward as a result of that.
What
Did
part?
You read his statement?
Mm-hmm.
I felt uncomfortable reading it, and it was so brief. It was, I think, three sentences. Here was the statement from Bill Belichick. I'm sure a bunch of reporters called the team looking for Bill to have a comment on it. It says, "I am saddened to hear the news about Breece. He is remembered for his solid contributions to our team. My thoughts and prayers are with Breece Caldwell's family." I couldn't stop and not think about football when I read the solid contributions to the team part.
Solid.
Like, it's weird. It's a weird way of putting it.
I had a hamburger the other day. It's solid. I mean, a toasted
right?
bun.
Like, you,
cheese
yes.
melted pretty good. Not quite the way I wanted it. It was a solid burger. Because I still had the mayo, the tomato, and, you know, sliced onion. So it was solid.
Here's what I would say. You can never go wrong going over the top and praising someone who has passed away. You can never go wrong doing that. Figuring out a more creative way to praise
him. Yeah, I don't
him.
I don't know what the relationship was between the two, and I'm not going
to. Well, it had to be decent. It was decent enough that he felt the need to actually put a statement out when I'm sure he was asked.
You wake up and you find out one of your former players that's 41 got shot and killed. You feel pretty crappy about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Guy, like it or not, he had some big catches for you. He did. Hell of a catch in that San Diego game, right? Down the right sideline.
Yeah.
That big third down, sort of ice it. Yeah, just never forget the big eyes. And then, you know, stuff that happened to him after he was done. Just, it's odd. Yeah.
It is. It's not an easy spot to be put in if you're Bill Belichick. Like, you know, what's the right thing to say in that situation?
What is, what isn't, right?
Right? What is the right thing to say? But obviously sad news for Breece Caldwell, who obviously, as you mentioned, so had some troubles after he was done playing in the National Football League. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number if you want to jump on board. Top shelf professionalism from Brian Hoyer. And again, I think it's less about Hoyer like we talked about. And more
I expect
about,
so much less.
It feels like a little bit of a shot at Brady from Mike Reese, doesn't it? Like
no,
it.
No.
I
no,
like
I
it.
No. No. Reece
Jim, what do you think?
No.
Jim, a little bit?
The first thing I thought of was Brady.
Really?
Top shelf professionalism. Brady's doing all this stuff with the Bucks, and now this year Hoyer's doing this stuff with the Patriots, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What happened last year, the year before, ever since Garoppolo got here?
What, Jim?
I'm asking.
No, that's his question. He's legitimately asking.
All the stuff. Oh. Was there throwing sessions? Was this all this stuff like going on here? No, right?
Led
so we'll talk
Brady?
About it. That's the problem.
No,
he doesn't talk about
I'm
this subject.
Time. I'm confused on your timetable there, Bob, the producer, Jeff.
Last year, 2019, 2018. last two years.
Just substitute.
Well, Philadelphia Super Bowl happened in Minnesota, which I think changed things drastically. That's where you had to start questioning your convictions and who do you do this for.
Why don't you right? text him and ask him if he's ever snapped the ball to Stidham? If at any point in the last calendar year he ever snapped the ball to Stidham.
Stid.
Or would be willing to snap a ball to Stidham.
I mean, substitute professionalism with convictions. There you go.
So all this over-the-top Brady stuff doesn't piss you off even a little bit? a little tiny bit and be like, why is he all of a sudden?
Yeah, the recruitment.
He's shot out of a cannon.
The giddiness of the recruiting of Gronkowski and talking him into coming to play. Yeah, that bugs me. That does bug me.
Mike Giardi also had this. The guy who's left behind is Julian Edelman. Asked one Patriot about Julian Edelman's mindset this season. This is a tweet from this morning. Julian Edelman's been a regular at throwing sessions. Quote from this player. Julian is Julian. He hates excuses. He hates excuses. He hates to lose. He's already got the red ass about this season. People thinking we're no good and that he's just a product of Brady.
He wants the ball. When's the Stidham shirts come out on J11 website?
Good. He's human.
Isn't
he feels
that good? Isn't that great? Isn't that a great sign for the Patriots and for him?
Oh, that's the guy you want pissed off. Yes, it's the whole Marcus Smart Rondo effect. Yeah, you want.
No, but it's going to be. He's going to be motivated to make sure that whoever the quarterback is, and let's assume it's Stidham, he's going to make sure he does everything in his power to make that guy a better player and a better quarterback and have the most possible success out there on the field.
Yeah, he's got to stay healthy and get fed the ball. And they got to reiterate it to him that he's the guy that makes the offense go, buddy.
Okay, but who's the guy in the
Jacoby Myers?
So who's the skill guy in the offense that, or really any guy in the offense that knows it best right now?
Edelman.
Edelman knows the offense better than anybody.
Yeah.
So he's
almost say this is
he's going to be a resource for a young quarterback.
Brady's offense. This is Edelman's offense.
Right.
This is Edelman and Josh's offense.
Yeah.
Those first two games of that 2016 season where it was Garoppolo, before, take the Brissett games out because those are kind of novelty games. 7 catches, 7 targets week 1, 7 catches on 10 targets week 2.
That's pretty good.
That's the start of him saying, I'm not a product of Brady. It's got to continue this year.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Good. That's good.
He's got the red ass. Julian Edelman's got the red ass.
You know,
I would say that's always a good sign for the Patriots.
You need him to have the red ass, not pouting because Tom's not there. You need him to have the red ass for this reason, that people don't give us a chance. People are counting us out. It's the circle the wagon mentality again, and that's the leadership you're going to need from that guy. He's your leader on offense.
I'm glad some players will have that attitude of, hey, guys, they think it was all Brady. Let's show them it wasn't.
Yeah,
not
go.
Just the coaches. We've talked about the Belichick angle, but now we're hearing if the players are thinking that, that's awesome for this team going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
617-779-0985. We got open phone lines. If you want to jump on board, good time to do it. We got one more segment in which we can take your calls. Also, if you want to know how insane the fall schedule will be in this world for viewing things on television, sports world, everything, we've got a pretty good example to give you coming up right after this.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, B. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hit the mic there.
Beadle, your microphone is down.
Come on, Marconi.
Hello.
Here it is.
As you can see on the screen, doing what you think is a radio show, but nobody can hear you.
October 15th of this fall.
Yeah.
There'll be a number of things you can watch on television that
like
night.
Like what? Like what that night?
What day of the week is it?
I don't know.
Sunday of the week it is.
It's got to be a Sunday. 60 Minutes. That's one thing. Shut up.
It is a Thursday night.
Oh.
Ooh,
cheers.
Thursday night. Kind of a random night.
Thursday night.
What's Survivor on? Is that Friday or Thursday thing?
I don't remember.
What's Bachelor start?
Friends. Watch that on Thursday.
No, I'm not going to watch Friends. Used to be on Friends. Cheers used to be a big Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
Cosby Show, is that a Thursday night thing?
Let me tell you about the jelly pudding.
Is that what you mean?
I don't know.
Here's what you got on October 15th coming up. NBA draft,
yep.
A presidential debate, and an NFL game between the Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh, that's a good one. Bills should be running away with the division by that point, right?
I don't know, but they'll be a good team. They won't suck.
Yeah.
It might be a decent game.
Well, you might be rooting for Buffalo.
Even if it's not a decent game, you're still going to want to watch the Chiefs. Watch the Chiefs pretty much wherever they play.
Yeah. The Chiefs are a draw.
Chiefs are a big draw.
But could the Bills beat the Chiefs?
Sure.
Yes. Yes, they could.
Punch them in the mouth, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you've got in the fall. Because there's a backlog of everything now. And that's where you get the NBA draft pushed out. And let's not forget that this will be October 15th, which means baseball playoffs could be going on. I don't know if they will be.
Mass had a cryptic tweet out there today. And it's when Mass throws one of those out, like, I don't know why I'm saying this, but it would surprise me if there's some movement in the baseball negotiations today.
Well, that was before we got those reports that Hardy's had in his headlines, too.
That was well before, yeah.
So there's been something. Something has happened today. Yeah. There's been a counter. I don't know if anything has moved in a positive direction.
I don't either.
There's this tweet today from Mike Axia, who writes for CBS Sports on baseball. And he breaks it down. 82 games at a sliding scale is equal to about 33% of salary for MLB players. 50 games at prorated pay comes out to about 33% of salary for MLB players. Today's proposal, 76 games at 75% prorated pay, he writes, drum roll, comes out to about 33% of the salary. He says it all comes back to the same place. MLB keeps making the same offer in different forms.
Yeah, well, different number of games. That's the only thing. Only thing that changes. How many games are you going to play? How much of our salary are we getting? Well, prorated? Yes. Okay, fine. Prorated.
This
how much?
This doesn't fly by Beetle. Red Sox tried this with a beer. Remember when the beer and they shrunk the size of the beer?
No, it hasn't gotten past anybody. It's the same. They haven't changed anything other than the number of games. Now, I don't want to say to their credit, but I guess as a means of explanation, one of the things the players have wanted is more games. But I think more importantly than more games, they want their full pay for the games that they play. Major League Baseball is saying, no, we're still going to prorate the salary, and we're going to give you a fraction of that prorated salary, but we'll just change the number of games that we want to schedule. To which Major League Baseball and the Players Union is going to say, no, we're still dug in on that side. And Major League Baseball, you know, seemingly coming up with a new proposal, hasn't come up with anything new. There's nothing new here. The only thing that's different is the number of games.
Somebody reported they added two more playoff teams as well. So there's going to be 16 playoff teams now.
That's
eight from each league.
Oh, boy.
In their latest proposal.
Carl Ravitch, by the way, claims he has sources. Carl Ravitch, who said that he believes this is a significant move.
Yes.
Towards player demands to play more, which
I've left that out of the updates. Ravitch's opinion that this is significant from Major League Baseball.
His sources tell him, and I guess he'll just report whatever his sources tell him, that it equates to $200 million more dollars spent on players in player salaries. Where does he pull that number from? Where's that coming from?
I don't know.
The person that told him.
Exactly. Like, where do you think that person is employed? Not at the players' union. $200 million, according to what? What math gets you another $200 million in that? And then I think he sort of backtracked it an hour ago, because then this is 2 hours ago he tweeted that, and then an hour ago, olive branch or thistle bush? ? Well, I don't know. You told me it was an olive branch. What is it now? Now you're questioning it, which means he's looked at some of the math himself and is going, maybe this.
He misread it.
Maybe this guy telling me $200 million is full of crap.
Yeah.
So I don't think they just keep giving him the same offer. We'll pay you one third. We'll pay you one third of what you would make. So if you're going to get a third of your salary, your full salary, by playing 82 games, 50 games, or 76 games, which deal would you take? Okay, the answer is 50 games.
But are they getting a They're third of their salary? Or are they getting 75% of the prorated salary?
No. Under the newest offer for 76 games, they are getting 75% of prorated salary. Which, again, they're going to make the same money whether they're playing 50 games or 76 games. So why would you play 76?
It's almost like they're trying to bait him into taking our offer of 50. Seriously, it's like we're going to use our smarts, and we're going to trick you players union into accepting our offer of 50.
They're just making, calling it something else. Like, oh, guys, no, we'll play the 48 games at full prorated pay. If we go up to 76, we're going to have to do 75% prorated pay. Oh, that's pretty good. You know, we're still getting, no, it's the same money. It's the same amount of dollars that you would get for playing 48 or 76, somewhere around 50 or 75, whatever. Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's just repackaging it, selling the same crap. That's all they're doing. There's not actually any real, you know, real growth in that offer. They're spinning their wheels. They're going in circles now. Let's get to today's takeaways. They're coming up right after this.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Wake 180 Weight Loss. 6 locations locally. They will still coach you up online, virtually. Get the weight off. Summer's here. You feel the heat out there. Shed the weight with the Wake 180 Weight Loss. Check it out at wake180weightloss.com. How many takeaways we have, boys?
We've got three today.
Oh, that's couple a nice number. Nice odd number.
Yeah, a couple of incidents here. And number one, Zoe bit his tongue today on the show.
I don't know if I approved any of the characterizations of ourselves in
the new graphic.
But take our heads, and I just bit my tongue again. give it to me again, Eritan, because I turned the wall there. It's suffering thucktas. You can hear it when I did it. Characterizations of ourselves in
the new graphic.
Take our heads, and if I
just... heads
as the pain starts to settle in.
Are you biting it in the same place?
It's on this side. Yes.
How long has this been going on?
A couple months now.
Couple months.
It's only. I think it's, you know, because you use your tongue at the roof of your mouth. That's how you form syllables. You know.
Oh,
is it? Speak. You know.
Oh,
a little. Yeah.
Oh.
And I got that one spot on there. I just bite it in the back here.
See, I think most of us have go through this where you'll do it maybe a couple few times over the course of a week. But if this has been going on for several months, you're biting the same...
Not every week, dummy, or every day.
You're biting the same spot on your tongue multiple times or going back to January. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think that's odd. I think that's a little strange.
All right.
Oh, yeah. If you want to keep living like this, it's up to you. I would have it looked at. Go to a tongue doctor.
I don't know what it is. I'm not even pulling on my tongue, but like grabbing it with like a paper towel.
Oh, yeah. They get the gauze.
They pull it out and they look at me.
Just get a gauze.
Get a gauze.
Get
something
a gauze.
Something without a lot of lint.
Taking pokers and poking around. It's a big old tongue now, too. I got one of those big ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big, thick cow tongue.
Yep.
Yeah.
You ever have tongue?
No.
Well, you don't like
I have
to
not.
Eat outside, so why would you, you know?
All right, let's go to
Tom.
You know what, so you aren't the only one with issues today. We all had issues. Here's Hardee's today.
Oh, yeah.
This time they say 75% prorated salary. Excuse me, for a 76-game season with playoff pool money. Excuse me, something caught my throat. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. Let's see. With a season that would finish on September 27th and a postseason that ends at the end of October.
I don't know. anything can happen.
You can hear the struggle, though.
Had you left the room, though?
Pardon me?
Did you leave the room, or you didn't even know that it happened today?
I didn't even know that happened today. That was like one of our quick breaks. Yeah, I ran outside real quick. Yeah.
It was, you know, you're not, but something in your, you know, like in the back of your brain, in your caveman brain says, you're dying. You're dying right now. You can't breathe. You're choking. But, you know, try and finish this update.
Yeah,
but
just go out strong. Power through.
Know that you're not going to live through this if something doesn't change quickly.
Right. Exactly.
Also today, apparently we had a host not listening. I'm guessing it's me. Jim would not tell me who it was, so I'm guessing it is me.
Can I just tell you something, though, before listen to this? This is not your standard host not listening.
Oh.
This is it's a different kind of host not listening.
Okay.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
That's really the only visual thing from TV because the crowd is so dark.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, elevated floors too, like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, let's go to Kirby, who's in Taunton. Hey, Kirby.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
What do you want me to do there? I didn't have anything else to add.
The hosts aren't there. Well, you know, you got it. It's kind of your job, though, to just keep things moving. I think we just lost you. It was lost time.
You did. You'd start to lose me on, like, the talk of floors that facility in Orlando.
Okay, what do you want? You want us to talk about the game last night instead? I mean, that's kind of what we're doing at this point, many months in.
I talked to
a hockey guy. He said it would never happen, the glass being taken off. He goes, guys would have their ribs and necks broken, continually getting knocked into the first and second rows. And it would just stop the game. There'd be stoppages of game all the time. It's not going to happen. Taking the glass off. Ridiculous. Yep.
All right. Sure. Yep. Yeah. Let's go to...
it's happening again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know if we were listening to it again. I thought we were listening to it all over again.
It's Hardy. I'm joking. Jeez. All right. we got, 2 minutes here. Anything else you want to say before the show, or do we only have 3 hours and 58 minutes today?
Well, I think we owe everyone an explanation as to why we did not have multiple segments today on the Bruce Lee documentary last night. That was our plan.
I had a job
on Friday. We were all going to watch the Bruce Lee documentary last night, and so that we would have that to talk about today. And just take it around the room. Beetle, what happened?
I didn't watch. I forgot, and I watched Billions instead.
All right. Zoe, what happened?
Love the Jordan documentary. This is something we were looking forward to. You said, we're going to do this as a show, and I remembered, that alert came up on my phone when it was ESPN alerts. And I said, Zoe ran upstairs, put it on. I made it through 38 minutes, and I tried. Oh. And I tried diligently because I didn't want to be the only one that didn't watch. It was one of the worst things that I've ever had to sit through for 38 minutes.
You and I tapped out about
it. It was something that I thought was going to take me to another level, martial arts type stuff, that I just sat there staring at TV, and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I didn't know what was going on. I thought I missed the first part of it. It starts when he goes to Hong Kong to film The Big Boss. And, we know this from watching Dragon. Like, if you know anything about Bruce Lee, you know a little bit about, the Hong Kong movies and then the Green Hornet and the stuff, back and forth. Like, why are they starting here? And then they go back. And I
probably want to watch a Jackie Chan one after this.
And after they went back, it was just a straight, this is your life.
Yeah, and it was really bad.
And it was really boring.
Really bad. It done really, really poorly.
Zoe and Hardy tapped out. Jim watched it all the way to the end and was left disappointed.
I thought the first hour was going to be a big setup for the whole Be Water phenomenon and all that stuff.
Jim was waiting for the Brady.
There was nothing
line,
post
like
his life. There was
people,
nothing on the legacy that he left. It was just his life.
The producer,
straight through.
Whoever did it, whoever put this together, the production quality of it, and the people they interviewed, they talked, made it boring.
Next Sunday's the big one, the home run chase of 98.
Bingo.
McGuire and Sosa. That's the one I've been waiting for.
I'll give it 38 minutes, see what happens.
I bet it'll be better than the 38 minutes you spent on Bruce Lee last night.
Well, the Sosa 30 for 30 was really good with Shaq. I enjoyed that one, so this should be good next week.
Belger and Maz are coming your way next. Stay tuned for that. We're back tomorrow at 10. Have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.